רב להם נשיא הישיבה, וישוס ראשי הישיבה, וישוס מורי ורבי רב דוד ליפשיץ שליטה, מורי ורבי רב יוסף אי שליטה, fellow רבונים and תלמידי הישיבה. This is part of the annual rabbinic alumni mid-year conference, in which the highlight is the shiur given by Dr. Lamb. Now, this is an opportunity for rabbonim from throughout the United States and Canada to come back home and to give our ourselves chizuk and to reconnect ourselves to yeshiva. In this week's parsha, we find the remez of Chatzi HaTorah B'Tevos, between the words Dorosh Dorash Moshe, with the midpoint of Torah are the words Dorosh Dorash, which has been understood to allude to the fact that even if one has pursued and studied and inquired and done the drisha, one is still only in the middle of the process, and there is still much drisha to be done. Now, this is our opportunity, mid-year, midpoint, to come back and to continue our pursuit in the study of Torah. We are, as always, grateful to Dr. Lamb for his participation, as well as to all of those who made this conference possible, particularly our Rabbinic Services Director, Rabbi Stephen Dworkin, as well as the president of our Rabbinic Alumni, who I now call upon, Rabbi Bernard Rosenzweig.
President Rabbi Hain, our Rosh Yeshiva and President Rav Lam, particularly Mori Barabi, Rav David Lishitz Shemitah, Rosh Yeshiva, Chaverim, Talmidim of the Yeshiva, and whatever guests are present. Before I begin with my formal remarks, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank two big people particularly. The first one, of course, is the chairman of our midwinter conference, Rabbi Kenneth Hain. Kenny has been a working chairman. You can't always say that. And his input has been very decisive in making this one of the most successful midwinter conferences that we've ever had. The second person that I want to single out is the director of Rabbinic Services, Rabbi Stephen Dworkin. Steve has literally coordinated every aspect of this program, and he's done so with a great deal of ability and with a great sense of pleasantness, and for that we are abundantly grateful. Rabbinic alumni is not just another alumni group in the YU constellation. Rabbinic alumni is something very special, very different, if you will, unique. Because our mesmachim embody in their very essence the highest manifestations of the principles and the goals of our beloved yeshiva, as they have been so eloquently enunciated by our great leaders and teachers, Rav Dov Rebel Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shmuel Belkin Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Yevodeh L'Chaim, our own Harav Nachum Layam Shalita. I can remember Dr. Belkin, to whose memory this shiur is being dedicated, talking about synthesis. And our esteemed president in Rosh Yeshiva, who has innovatively developed the concepts of Torah Umada and has persuasively articulated its intellectual underpinnings and its practical extensions. It is not my intention to offer this as a paean of self-praise, or to make this a session of self-adulation. Quite to the contrary, my contention is that this reality obligates the need for greater responsibility, greater concern, greater involvement on the part of our mesmachim in the needs of our yeshiva. In the Seder that we will read this Shabbos, the Torah focuses on the death of Nora ben Avihu. And everyone asks, of course, what was the sin of Nora ben Avihu? What was the strange fire that they brought? And in the Medrash there are all kinds of speculations. But to me it seems to be somewhat superfluous, because ultimately the key is to be found in the pasuk "Bikrovai Ekodesh, V'al Pnei Chol Ha'om Ekoved." God expects more from those who are closest to Him, and consequently the small sin of a big man is much more serious than the big sin of a small man. And Nora ben Avihu were not just ordinary people. Moshe says to Aaron, "Heim gedolim minoi uminoch." They're greater than you and I. And God expects that that those who are close to Him will sanctify His name, and through that, God will be exalted amongst the people. And this similarly is true in terms of our mesmachim in the yeshiva. The yeshiva has the right to expect much more from us, its mesmachim. We've been very fortunate. We have received an outstanding yeshiva education within the Kosle Beis HaMedrash. And we received at the same time an Ashkofe, a Weltanschauung, from our teachers and our guides. There is such a thing as a Koras HaTov. We are, all of us, past and present, in debt to our yeshiva.
And I say it to you this morning because these are very difficult times for the yeshiva. Our president and Rosh Yeshiva, who saved this institution from possible extinction more than 15 years ago, is laboring valiantly now to prevent a repetition of that frightening prospect. In this hour of crisis, there really is no room for apathy or indifference or a lack of initiative. Our yeshiva and its head deserve better. And so therefore it's in that framework and against that background that I now move to introduce our Rosh HaYeshiva and President of Yeshiva University, my esteemed friend and chaver, who toils every day on behalf of the interests of our yeshiva, and who in his tenure of office has broadened the scope of every program within the framework of the yeshiva. Let me now present to you Rav Dr. Nachum Lahm.
Shus Meiri Verabi, Rav David Lishis Shlita. Chvod Rashi HaYeshiva, Mismachim, distinguished guests, and Talmidim. First, I want to thank Rabbi Rosenzweig, old and dear friend and roommate. Not for your words about me, they were exaggerated, but for the very serious and eloquent urging of our chaverim, of all of us who are Mismachim, and future Mismachim, to express our Hakaras HaTov to the yeshiva. That's more important than anything I can tell you today. In Masechta Shabbos in Perek HaOreg, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, the Mishnah tells us that Kol HaMakalkalim Beturim, that a malacha on Shabbos to be chayev has to be constructive. But if it's a makalkel, if it spoils, if it reduces something in value, then it's potter. The Mishnah says, Hakareya al Mesai v'al Evloi uvechamosai potter. If someone tears a garment because he's an obalachmon al Islam, or vechamosai tears it out of anger, out of rage, then he's potter. The Beraisa says the reverse. The Gemara quotes the Beraisa that says Hakareya al Evloi v'al Mesai uvechamosai is chayev. How do you balance the Braisa and the Mishnah? How do you solve the contradiction? So the Gemara says, Mesei and Mesei lo kasher. I can answer the question on Mesei. Why the Mishnah says, Kareya al Mesei ve'alevlo is pata, why the Braisa says it's chayim. And that is that the Mishnah is talking about a case, the Braisa is talking about a case where you're chayiv to, you're obligated to tear kriya, such as Shiva Krovim, which a chayva avelis, or an odom kosha, or you're standing on someone who is pishas yitzias neshonu al pidin, you have to tear kriya. So there, the tearing of a kriya is chayev. There, the tearing of the kriya is not a makalkel because you have to do it, and that's why you're a chayev. So the Beraisa speaks about a case where you're chayev to be tear kriya, therefore it no longer is a makalkel, and therefore you're chayev. The Mishnah, however, is speaking about a meis bi alma. Simply a man tears the kriya out of grief over someone for whom he's not chayiv to be kareya, and that kind of kriya is no longer a chiyuv, and therefore it's a mastama kalkal, and that's why it's potter. So the Gemara says, all right, that's true for meisei on meisei, but the Mishnah and the Beraisa contain another case, kareya b'chamosei. If a man does it out of kas, He's so angry that he takes the proverbial glass and flings it at the fire escape, at the fireplace. Or he tears a garment because of simple rage. There the Mishnah says, Potter, the Baisa says, Chayet, how can you explain it? So the Gemara says first that the difference is that the Mishnah is according to Rav Shimon, the whole Malacha Shein Sicha Lebufa is Potter, since the Malacha tearing was not necessary for the tearing itself, such as, let's say, a tailor who tears a garment in order to stitch it properly. And therefore, it's a malacha shein sicha legufa. Rav Shimon holds malacha shein sicha legufa is potter. That's the Mishnah. But Isa comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that malacha shein sicha legufa chai. So the Gemara says, yes, okay, we'll take that. However, we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that malacha shein sicha legufa chai says that he is chayiv only when he's a mesakin. When the malacha, even though it's not sorach legufa, but you're doing something with it, it's constructive, but when you're a makalkel, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's potter. So here you are makalkel, so how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that he is chayiv? Therefore the Baraisa too should say is potter. So the Gemara answers, interesting answer, that it is possible to be a korea b'chamoso, and yet it should not be a mekalkel, it should be a mesakein. Why? For psychological reasons. The Ovid nachas ruach li yitzro. Because you give nachas to your yetzahara. Because you appease your yetzer. You're full, you're brimming with rage, and by the act of tearing, it's an act of catharsis, you express yourself. You restore yourself to sanity, to equanimity, and therefore by being nachas ruach li yitzro, you are a metakein, a mesakein, instead of being a mekalkein. So the Gemara says, so therefore we have the answer, right? So the Mishnah which says that is potter is speaking where you are not, we are stamar kadeya b'chamosem, as we're according to Rav Shimon, And the Baraisa which says chayev is according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Ayah Kasha is, it's a Makalko, it's not a Makalko, because Kareya B'chamasi is also a Masakhan. You're satisfying, you're appeasing your anger. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that to be a Kareya B'chamasi is a Masakhan? How can you say that? We know that the Gemara quotes that anyone who falls into Kas, is Yehei Kareyem Kareya Ksusei B'chamosei Yehei Ben Necha Ka'ibed Aved Ezara. You all heard the expression Kala Kalei Skilo Ibed Aved Ezara. And then the Gemara continues, because that the Gemara knows that's the Uman, the Umanus, the business of the Yetzahara is today he says Asei Kach and the Mocha Asei Kach, and you listen to him, and ultimately he will tell you to be Ibed Aved Ezara, you listen to him again. So therefore the Gemara says, "Kahai gavna mishari." How can you tell me that kareya b'chamosi is a tikkun because of nachas ruach liyitzvay? It's an avera. Kol hakareis kivad avodah zarah, because eventually it's going to lead to avodah zarah. So how can you call it a tikkun? It's a kilkul. See, you're back with the kasha. If it's a kilkul, how can the Baraisa say it's chayiv? So the Gemara says, "No, it's chayiv because even though it's true that kol hakareis kivad avodah zarah." But here is a special case. Here, the man who is doing the kriya is not really angry internally. He's just posturing. Lamirma emasa ainsha de beise. He is tearing and acting wild, as it were, only in order to discipline the people of his house. Sometimes a father has to act very upset, very angry. He inside may be cool and calm and collected, but in order to impress upon the people of his household, the children, that he takes this seriously, he will posture, he will act as if he is angry, as if he's losing his temper, but really hasn't lost anything. Inside he's calm. So therefore, there's no over nachas ruach liyitzlo, it's only the mirma emasa inshu de beisei, lahatul ema, and that is a tikkun, that's not a kilkul, that is misakin, and therefore it is chayiv. L'cha'ora, that is the end of the sugya. And the end of the sugya, therefore, is that stam tikkun to be of a nachas ruach liyitzro is not a metakin, but a mekalkel. Why? Because kahai gavne mishari, because kalakor eski b'davad azara. When is koreya b'chamosai regarded as a tikkun? only if it's the mirma emesa inshadid beise, when you want to use it to establish discipline. Indeed, that is the way Rashi learns the sugya, and that is the way that David paskins. That is these rishonim. However, the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchas Shabbos Halacha Yud is a little surprising. Doesn't mention anything about Ki'ilo Eved Eved Zara, doesn't mention anything about the Mirma Emes HaInsha De Beisei. He simply quotes the first part of the Gemara, namely that someone who is Kareya B'Chamosei is Chayev because he is Metaken. How is he Metaken? The Oved Nachas Ruach Liyisrael. If it's Oved Nachas Ruach Liyisrael, it's a Melocha Shein Sricha Legufa. The Rambam passing like Rabbi Yehuda, the Melocha Shein Sricha Legufa is Chayev. And therefore, this is not a Makalka. It's not a Makalka because Oved Nachas Ruach Liyisrael. And that's why it's Chayev. The Rambam does not say that it is a Metaken only when it's Lemirma Emosa Inshad De Beise. What happened to that piece of Gemara? Where is it in the Rambam? The truth is that the Rambam did not neglect that piece of Gemara. But he quotes it in a totally different context. Not in Hilchas Shabbos at all. Rather, he quotes it in the third perek of Hilchas Deis, where the Rambam says, Kol HaKoveis Ki'ilo Oved Aved Zara. And you have to, you know, the Rambam Shita is that in all the deos, all the characteristics, character qualities of man, you have to follow the middle path, the path of moderation, the Derech Hashem. You got to keep away equally from either of the extremes. And there, the Rambam speaks about Kas, and the Rambam tells us there that Kas is Ka'oved Aved Zara, and that it is Muta only Kedei Lahatil Ema Al Anshe Beisei, and which is the same as Lemirma Emes Anshe De Beisei, and then it is Muta. It doesn't mention it in Hilchas Shabbos, and therefore the Kasha remains. According to the Gemara, this is the end of the sugya. That this is part of the question of the Takan of a Kalkul and Shabbos. Why doesn't the Rambam mention in Shabbos? Why does he only stop in the first part that Kareya B'Chamasa is Chayev because it's a Metakan, because of a Nachasulat Yisrael? Why does he quote the rest? That is only when the Merma Insha, the Merma Emas Insha the Basic. Well, I'd like to present a number of ways of answering that question. The Magad Mishnah does try to answer it, gives an answer, but there are problems in that Magad Mishnah that I want to go into. First one is that from the Pashtus of the Sugya and Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis, it appears that anything that is done the Tzorech Mitzvah is considered a Tikkun. No matter that the actual fact may seem that you're destroying something, but if you're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah, at least to some extent, that's Mafkia from the category of Kilkol. Therefore, if someone is kardeya be'evlai al-meisei, even though you're destroying a garment, but you're doing a mitzvah. If you're doing a mitzvah, tzarech mitzvah turns the act from a mekalkel into a mesaken. That's why the Gemara distinguishes between meis di day and meis di alma. If it's meis di day, one of the shiva krovim or adam kasher or whatever it is, and the meshas yisias neshana, where you're doing a mitzvah for kriya because the halacha requires it to be kareya, then you are a mesaken. But in the case of meis di alma, where there is no mitzvah, if there is no mitzvah, then it's a makalka and it's not a mesaken. Tosfos says that on daf kufei in the beis. Clearly that Tzorech Mitzvah Meis Di Day Ika Mitzvah Chashev Mesaken. Now, if indeed a Tzorech Mitzvah transforms an act of Mekalkel into a Mesaken, it stands to reason that by the same token, an Avera transforms a Metaken into a Mekalkel. The very same reasoning applies. If I do a mitzvah, I satisfy the command of the Torah of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that takes any act that makes it into a mesaken. Then if I do something that's an avera, then that converts any act into a mekalkel. I mean, you say about a man, he's a mekukol, it means he does averas, even in ordinary language we use it. Now, if that is so, then we understand why the Gemara, after the Gemara answers the Ka'ovet Nachas Ruach Yitzro, The Gemara says, Kahai Gavna Mishari, happy you say that Kareya Bachamasi is a Mesakin because he's satisfying his Yetzer. But it's an Avera, Kalakayas Kili Aveda Zara. And an Avera does what? It converts any act, even if it seems to be a Mesakin, into a Mekalkel. And therefore, how can you say that it's a Tikkun, it's Aveda Zara? So just as one mitzvah makes it into a Tikkun, Avera makes it into a Kilkel. However, this holds true only if you accept the proposition that a mitzvah converts an act from a makalkel to a mesakin and makes it constructive. But if you don't accept the premise that a mitzvah creates a state of tikkun, then you equally do not have to accept the conclusion that an avera creates a state of kilkel. Now, and Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, the next piece of Gemara talks about Mekalkel. And here we find the following. Here we find that apparently the Gemara does not accept that mitzvah, tzarech mitzvah, creates tikkun. The Gemara says, Tani Rabba Bo Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, and Bo learned the following Baraisa. He said, Kol Mekalkel in Peturin, which everyone agrees with, Kol Mekalkel in Peturin, Chutz Mechovel Amaviyah. Chovel means you're mazik, you hurt someone physically, or mavi means you burn up something. In such a case, when you're chovel ba'odam, or you ignite his whatever it is and destroy it, even though it's a makalkel, nevertheless, the Rabba says, it's chayav. So, the Gemara asks, how can you say that chovel amaviyah are exceptions, and chovel amaviyah, even though they're makalkel, they're chayav, adan tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the very first few words are called a makalkel in Beturin. The Mishnah says, kol ha-makalkel in Beturin is mashma, not only other makalkel, but chovel amaviyah are also pata. How can you say that chovel amaviyah are chayav? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah that says kol ha-makalkel in Beturin, including chovel amaviyah, comes out by Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that all makalkin are part, even makalkin b'chabur, which is a chover. The Baraisa that holds that there is an exception, comes out that Rav Shimon holds makalkin b'chabur, implies makalkin b'chabur as well, is chay. So the Gemara says, how does Rav Shimon know? How does Rav Shimon know that the chover l'mavi are exceptions to the law that all makalkin are part? So the Gemara says, he learns each one from a different mitzvah. He says, from different pasuk. And since he says, when it comes to chabura, where do you have an act of chabura in the Torah that the Torah commands you to do? Mila. So since the Torah says, the Torah gives you a special heta to have mila on Shabbos, since the Torah has to give you a heta, that originally is also, I'd say, it's a makalku. The answer is no, makalku b'chabura is chayel. That's why I know the Chovel is an exception to Makalkin. And then, the next one is Mavia. Since the Torah says that it's a mitzvah with a bas kohen shezinsa, she's chayiv sreifa, what does sreifa mean? That you have to boil up mevashel, the lead, to pour it down her throat. The Torah said it's a mitzvah when you have a bas kohen shezinsa, that this is the form of misas bezin. So since the Torah says that you have to be mevashel it, and I'm even... Excuse me. So from this we learn that mevashel bi'alma is chayev. Since you can't do it on Shabbos, you don't give misa on Shabbos. Why not? Because it's an avera. How do you know it's an avera? Because it's from your kalkel. And my, it's not a makalkel. It must be a misake. So the Gemara says, that explains very well from the Torah itself why chovel and mavi are our exceptions to the law called makalkel and peturna. What do you do? What does Rav Shimon? What does Rabbi Yehuda do? So the Gemara says, Kedravashi, like the Buddha says, that Kol HaMakalkel in Beturin, what do you do about Mila and Havoras Bas Kohen, which seem to indicate clearly that Chovel HaMavi Achayim? So he says, Ravashi has an answer. Mali L'Saken Mila, Mali L'Saken Kli. What's the difference if you're Metaken a Kli, and that's Chayim, or you're Metaken a Mila? You make an improvement on the human body. You may do it through Chabala, but it's an improvement. Similarly, about the hot lead, the psila, malilim vasha psila, malilim vasha samanim. It's all the same. Conceptually, it's all the same thing. And therefore, there is no difference between heating up, boiling the lead, or boiling water for tea. Now, Let's go back to the question we had about Tzorach Mitzvah. Is Tzorach Mitzvah, does Tzorach Mitzvah create a Mesekhanat of Makakul, or doesn't it? If indeed Tzorach Mitzvah creates a Matzav of Tikkun, then the Gemara could have answered the Kashet of Yehu, if Rav Shimon is right, if Rav Shimon has Psukim Teshel Lechoy Velamaveh Rachayiv, even on the Makakul, what does Rabbi Yehuda do? So he has to answer. Rav Ashi answers because Mali this, Mali Sakamila, Mali Sakankli, and Mali Vashal Salmon and Mali Vashal Psil. Could have answered very simple. Those two things are mitzvahs. If they're mitzvahs, a mitzvah creates a state of tikkun. So you can't call it a mekalkel anymore. He could have answered that therefore in a much simpler way. Since the Gemara did not answer that, it implies that this Gemara held that Tzorach Mitzvah does not create a state of tikkun. Otherwise, it could have answered it much simpler. So therefore, the maskana of this whole sugya, beginning from the Mishnah, that Lufayim at Beis, till Kufav Medalef, apparently holds that mitzvah is not considered, that tikkun is not mafkia from kilkul. Therefore, it is quite possible to say that the Rambam will hold with the maskana of the Gemara, that mitzvah is not mafkiya from kilkul, it does not create a state of tikkun, and therefore by the same token, if mitzvah doesn't create tikkun, avera does not create kilkul automatically, right? And therefore we understand why he didn't bring this halach and Hilchos Shabbos all together. Because in the Gemara, what is the merusas ha-Gemara, the sequence of the Gemara? The Gemara wanted to say, why is there a machlekes of the Braisa and the Mishnah? He says, here's Rav Yehuda, here's Rav Shimon. And Rav Yehuda is the one who says, Melachah Nesich Hulgul V'chayev. So the Gemara says, Chayev, what does he do? He only says when it's a Masak, not a Makalko. So the Gemara says that it's possible to be Kareya V'chamasei and still be a Masak, as Ovad Nachasluach Liyasa. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Ukahai Gavna Mishari, but you're not allowed to. That presupposes that Mitzvah and Avera make a difference from Metakan and Makalkel. That the Rambam didn't learn already. That he does not bring that any place in Hilchos Shabbos. Why not? Because he holds that Tzorach Mitzvah doesn't create Misaken, Tzorach Avera doesn't create Makalkel. Where does he quote it? Hilchos Deis. Because the very fact that it doesn't create a Tzorach Mitzvah, doesn't create a Tikkun, doesn't mean that you don't give a person a Yishakoach for a Mitzvah. And the very fact that an Avera doesn't create a state of Mekalkel doesn't mean you give him Mafia Yana for doing the Avera. I mean, that belongs in Hilchos Deis, but it does nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. With Hilchos Shabbos we deal with Metakan and Mekalkel, we're not dealing with the simple advisability of doing a Mitzvah or doing an Avera. However, this doesn't answer all our questions. Because this will explain Kadeya the Hamasa in the Mishnah and the Baraisa. What do you do about Kadeya Amesai the Alevlai? There the Gemara said there's a difference between Mes the Day and Mes the Alma, and apparently the difference, the reasoning is that Kadeya Ames the Day, whereas with the Torah Halacha requires us to be Kadeya, it's a mitzvah, and that's why it's a tikkun. So clearly, you have to answer that problem before you go on to before you can accept the difference between Kadeya and Chamosa. However, if you look carefully at the Rambam, you find that even where he brings down the halacha of Kadeya, al-Mesai, b'Shabbos, that is Chayiv, he does not give the reason of mitzvah. Rambam says that Rambam is telling us not that mitzvah creates a state of tikkun, but the Yorda HaTorah L'Sov Dato Shel Adam. The Torah probed the psychology of man and said, in a form of Lo Plug, that when a man, Rahmanu L'Islam, is an oval on someone who is close to him, then he experiences a deep sense of grief, of chimum. And that sense of chimum has to be satisfied, otherwise you can burst from sheer grief. Tearing the garment gives satisfaction to that. In the same way that Kaleya Bachamosei satisfies your rage, Kaleya Al Evloi satisfies one's Averis. Mace the Alma, you may feel sorry for somebody, but you don't feel that same sense of chimum that you do Rahman al-Islam for a father, a mother, a child, or any of the Shiva Krovma or an Adam Kosha, or Yitzhak Bashas Nisiyas Neshama, when you're standing there and you're overwhelmed with grief. And the Rambam says so quite clearly. He says in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, he puts Kareya b'chamosa and Kareya al Efai b'chada machti. It's one thing. He says as follows. Kareya ameis shuchayim l'kroa alav mitnei shemiyashev is datay b'dovar zeh v'yanuach yitzro. He uses the same language for Mesa that the Gemara uses for Kareya b'chamosa. V'yanuach yitzro ho'il v'chamosa shecheches b'dovar zeh. His temper is aswaj. Hareyu k'masakeh v'chayim. And he says it in the same way in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shabbos Halach Aleph, when he talks about Chovel Mavir, he says, "Shekol Elu Misaknim Heim Esal Yisron Hala." In all these cases, one is a misaken with regard to his Yetzer. So the primary element for the Rambam is not Mitzvah Ba'avera with regard to Tikkun HaKilkul; it is psychological. You are misaken the Yetzer, whether the Yetzer Hala of Kas, or the Yetzer, without defining it, of Avelus and of Aninus, of grief. So the Rambam therefore holds that one who is Mazik in Kas and one who is Kadeya Be'evlo are treated together. It is a psychological matter, and that indeed is the same thing the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos. He says in the Parish of Mishnayos, Halacha HaKadeya B'chamosei Amei Shechayev L'Kriya Chayev V'Hatam, he says the Rambam, Sheyia HaKoreya B'chamosa B'Amesa Echayim B'nei Shedata in B'siya Sheves V'chimumo, the heat of his grief Mispasher is relieved V'oso HaKera V'hu Daimel Misakim. So it is psychological rather than Mitzvah Avera. But by the way, to summarize this understanding of the Rambam, he does not accept the hanocha that Tosfos does, namely that Sorach Mitzvah is Mavkia from Kilkul and creates Tikkun, and he holds that the end of the Gemara proves that the beginning of the Gemara, the difference between Meis Tidei and Meis Tiyama, was not a question of Mitzvah, as Tosfos says, rather it was a question of Chimuma and Mispasher, and there is no real difference between Kadeya Meisai to Kadeya Bachamasai, and the Gemara says, Kahai Gavna Mishori, you're not allowed to lose anger, how can you call that a misaken? That is nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, that has to do with Hilchos Deis. So in Hilchos Shabbos he doesn't paskin this, in Hilchos Deis he quotes it in a completely different concept. This of course is according to the Rambam, but of course Rashi and the Ravid and Tosfos have said will disagree, and they will learn that even on Shabbos, if you're Kareya b'chamosei, it is called a makalkel, except if you do it when the Mirma Emasa Ainsha Base to impose discipline, where inside you are not upset. Let me try another teretz on this Rama. The Gemara says in Chum, Taches, Amarab Nachman Amarabba Barabua, Sakin Shalabai Dezara, Mutal Dishkaipa. You have a Sakin, you know, anything of Avai Dezara is also Ba'ana. What happens if a man has a chalif, is he allowed to use it to shech? The Gemara says yes, mutar l'shechecho. V'asa lachta babasa, you can't use it for ordinary butchering, to cut meat. The Gemara says why? Mutar l'shechecho makalkehu. You're allowed to use it for shechita, because when you shecht, you're a makalkel. Why are you a makalkel? So Rashi says, because when the animal was alive, it was good for three things. It was good for velodais, for malacha, and for achila. Produce more offspring, you can use it to work, and you can use it for eating. Once you shechted it, it's good only for achila. So you've reduced the value of the animal, and you're a makalkel. Since you're a makalkel, you're not over any avedis and mudulishkaikma. You're not allowed to use a lachlaikpa basa, because lahachi kaima, a knife is made to cut. And when you're cutting, you are doing a misaken. You cut a piece of meat, if it's too large, you can't bite into it. So therefore, you are being a misaken. That's what the Gemara says. Tosfos Al-Asar in Chum asks from a Gemara, as a kasha from a Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim that Ayin Gimel says, a sheichet b'Shabbos la'avoid l'zara, if someone shechted on Shabbos l'shem avoid l'zara, he's chayev tu chatois. Out of these, he did it b'shogeh. That chayev tu chatois. He's chayev one because of Shabbos and one because of avoid l'zara. So Tosfos asks, if you're going to say that Shechita is Kilkul, because he reduces it in value, it goes down from three functions to one function, only Achila, Why is he chai b'shochet l'avei d'zara b'shabbos? He's b'patar in Shabbos. He's a mekalkel. It's a very, very direct contradiction. So Tosfos answers that there is a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. In Shabbos, what counts is meleches machsheves. Meleches machsheves asur Torah. Has to be a constructive deed. If it has to be a constructive deed, we don't look at anything else. Is there a tikkun, even a tikkun purta, even a slight tikkun, you're chayav in Shabbos. It may be that by that act of a slight tikkun, you destroyed other things. So what? If you accomplish anything, you immediately have violated meleches machsheves, and that is the issur Shabbos, yechayav achatas. When it comes to avodah zarah, where it's asur b'hanah, there's no din of meleches machsheves. The din is hanah. How do you measure hanah? You take the totality of a thing. You have a calculus, as it were. And you have to measure, is there more kilkul or is there more tikkun? If there is more tikkun, no matter how much kilkul you had, then you're potter, because that is a mesach b'tanah. That's the criterion, is hanah. If there is more kilkul than tikkun, no matter what the tikkun was, the kilkul outweighs it, and it is potter. That's why sakin shel avodah zarah mutal lishchepa, because you're dealing here only with a question of avodah zarah, which is hanah. There is more kilkul than there is tikkun. Lachdach babasa, there's more tikkun than there is kilkul. When you're dealing, as the Gemara Pesachim does, with shaychet b'Shabbos l'avai dezara, here you're dealing with chiyuv Shabbos. Chiyuv Shabbos does not depend on the sum total of what you're doing. There's no equation, no measuring and evaluating. All you have to find out, was there any kind of tikkun? Indeed, there was a tikkun. There was it. Since there was a tikkun, what was the tikkun in Shoychet b'Shabbos? You're allowed to eat it. You're moisim edayim v'malachai. So since it was a tikkun, even though you were mekalkel gabei v'lodais and malacha, the other functions, but a tikkun purta is already a malachas machshavas. That's why it's chayim. That is Tosfos's answer on this particular kasha from the one Gemara to the other Gemara. Now, accepting this paris of Tosfos is a way of resolving the contradiction between the Gemara and Kurum, the Gemara and Pesachim. We have to wonder about our sugya and Shabbos. Here, the Gemara gave a teretz that kadeya b'chamosay is chayev, even though you're a makalkel. Why? Because oved nachas ruach liyisrael. And the Gemara says, ukahay gavna mishori. How can you say that's a matakeng? You're doing an avera, because kalakoa is kilo oved avay dezora. Ayom lemalo esay kacha mochasay kacha achay oved avay dezora. It can destroy you altogether, this yetzara. Therefore, the Gemara implies that we do not reckon with a nachas ruach liyisrael, right? We do not reckon nachas ruach liyisrael, since there is a makalkel, because he is oved davar dezara. But that doesn't wash, because we just said that we learn from Tosfos in Chum, and according to the Gemara in Pesachim, that even a tikkun purta, even any kind of tikkun, is a malechas masheves and is chayiv. So who cares whether there's a oved davar dezara? Who cares? What difference does it make with regard to Shilchus Shabbos, he's Eved David Zohar today, tomorrow, whenever it is? He was misaken. He did a Nachas Ruach LeYisrael. The Gemara considered that a tikkun. If it's a tikkun, so it should be Chayiv, it's Malachas Machsheves. So what do you see? That really there are two Sugyas Machalokas. That our Gemara, apparently, that the Gemara that says Kahai Gavna Mishari, and goes on to say that since it's Oved Avodah Zarah, it's an Avera, and therefore it is a Makalgel, and the Gemara permits, the Gemara holds that it's Chayiv only when it's Lamir Ma Emes HaIsha Debesei, that this Gemara does not consider the Gemara in Pesachim, namely that when it comes to the Hanoh, Stam Hanoh, you have to measure, weigh and measure, which is more. But when it comes to Shabbos, as long as there's any tikkun, that already makes a chayv. Otherwise, the Gemara was said here. So what does kalakayis kibad ezar? The Rambam sees these as two sugis v'chalakayis, and he passes like the Gemara, like Tosfos, passes like the Gemara in Pesachim and Chum, and against the second part of the Gemara, because he has to pass in one way or the other. And therefore, the Rambam will simply say this, until the Gemara, up to the point where the Gemara says that he is a masakan because of the nachas ruach liyisrael, at that point I pass in this Gemara. But when the Gemara starts going on Avodah Zarah, Kahigavna Mishari, that conflicts with the Gemara and Pesach Mechon, and therefore, I'm not goris that part altogether. Elamai is not a good thing to have kas, but I put in the Chazdeis, that doesn't belong here. So, from this, therefore, we have no kasha on the Rambam. We understand why he omitted the whole last part of the Gemara from the Hilchos Shabbos, because that contradicts the principle of Maleches Mar Sheves, that in Maleches Mar Sheves, even any kind of tikkun, no matter what the kilkul, is regarded as a metaken. And it is to step back a bit. And when you learn that piece of Gemara, I don't know how anyone else learns it, but when I learn, you get a feeling that somehow the Gemara is going off the track. It's going to a different kind of outlook. And let me introduce this by asking some very naive balabatisha questions. Very naive questions. That are not raised by the Shayim. For instance, the Gemara says, why? Because you appease the Yetzer Hara of anger, and therefore in the long run you may even appease the Yetzer Hara for idolatry. Now tell me, is this the way halacha works, that I take a possibility that tomorrow or in 5 years personality will degenerate, and that ultimately you're going to come to the point where Eved David Zara in 20 years from today. I mean, is this really a thing that Halacha reckons with? But when you have to look at the problem you're facing right now, it doesn't seem to. No. I have to be technologically alert. He's Masakin. Yeah. It doesn't appear to be the way we normally are accustomed to learning a piece of Gemara. You have a real problem, you deal with it once, twice, you don't consider what's going to happen much later on in Lamacha, Lamacha, Lamacha. How does that affect the whole question of Nachas Ruach Yisrael, which is a thing that stands before us now and is very real? Where do we find that a chashash, that a person will do something much later on, comes into play in Halacha and can change the halachic situation that we're dealing with right now? Besides that, it's possible he'll do tshuva. And afterwards we append a tefillah that we not be guilty of using the divine gift of speech which we get from Shemoneh Esrei talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to harm another person. And that should we become the subjects of such vilification, that we not respond in kind. Ulamakalalai nafshi sidom, nafshi ka'afar akotiya. It's these thoughts suggested by the sugya we learned that I share with you this morning, in the hope that we appreciate that in the largest sense, korea b'chamasai leads to kirkul hamidas, and that our task, each of us, is to train ourselves in tikkun hamidas. There is no other way to approach the even greater undertaking of tikkun ha'olam, because the world is only individuals writ large.